Hallelujah. God is good. Isn't it wonderful to be in the house of the Lord? Please have your seats. Good morning, Harvest. Isn't it amazing to be in the house of God? How many people had a good Easter? We all did, didn't it? It was an amazing Easter. Praise God for Easter, isn't it? You know, I was watching, you probably have seen it before, Passion of the Christ. I mean, I've seen it so many times, but yeah, Mel Gibson, but I thought I'd watch it again. And as I was watching it, sadly, like, I just realized the impact of what God did for us. I mean, it was so, I mean, if you see what Jesus went through just so that we could be sitting here this morning, I thought, wow, this is great. I mean, did he have to go that far? Did he have to? And I had to repent because I said, God, this price that you've paid for is too high that I can't afford to live any life less than what you've called us to live. It's such a high price, so high that we cannot afford to let the devil have, you know, his way all the time. Never, ever. You know, in the early church, they would meet on the first day of the week to celebrate resurrection. And so it's not the church that made or created stories of the resurrection. No, it is the resurrection stories that created the church. And so the foundation of the church is built on the resurrection. It's built, it's everything to us. The resurrection. You see, and there's a reason why. You know, in the olden days, when you sin, you kill an animal or something, and then you sacrifice it, and then that would cleanse you. And then that was it. They would bury the animal, and that was it. But Jesus took it to a whole new level. Not only was he crucified and buried, he resurrected. If you think of it, he could easily have come, died, they would bury him, and then his spirit would catch up with God. But he had to resurrect. Have you ever wondered why he had to resurrect? There's a reason, because there's a purpose for the resurrection, and there's a power that comes with the resurrection. And that's why it's called resurrection power. You know, he said to Martha, I am the resurrection and then the life. He is resurrection. Everything or anything that comes into contact with him, any death comes back to life. It comes back to life. Come with me to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, and I'll be reading from verse 8. It says this, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name, not a name, but the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. It says he gave him a name, the name that is above every name. Every name. It means anything that has a name was subject to the power of Jesus, or is subject to the authority and power of Jesus. If it's sickness, if it's disease, if it's poverty, anything that has a name is subject to the authority and power of Jesus. He says he gave him that name that is above every name. And so you realize that resurrection is not, resurrection, Jesus took us to a whole new level. A whole new level. He says, because he says he gave the name that is above every name. And at the mention of the name, every knee bows. In heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Now, this is what? Life without limitation. Because in heaven, on earth, and under, there's no limit to what you can do. And perhaps you are saying it, but it doesn't say God gave me the authority. It doesn't say God gave me the name. It says God gave Jesus the name. Listen, it says in Galatians 2:20 that what? Galatians 2:20, what does it say? I have been crucified with. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And this life that I live by faith in God. I have been crucified with Christ. And let's go. Galatians 2:20. Let me just read it. Well, Galatians 2:20. Is it there? It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. If Christ lives in you and he's ascended, then where are you? You are in heavenly places with him. And so the authority he exercises is the same authority that you exercise. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live now in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. Resurrection power. Resurrection power. That's what resurrection power has done for us. We are now operating at a level that we've never ever operated before. Just because, not because he died and was crucified, because he resurrected. Because he resurrected. Look at Peter's life before and after the resurrection. Before the resurrection, Peter was timid. Peter was, forget about the rest of the disciples. They all ran away. They all scattered when Jesus was arrested. And I understand, because if you are with somebody, if you've been for somebody for that long, you've seen him do miracles, you've seen him heal people, and then suddenly he's been arrested and killed. And you're thinking, wow, is he going to come back again to life? And you're wondering, wow, what happened to the Jesus we knew? The Jesus who was healing, the Jesus who was doing great miracles. Suddenly he's been arrested and killed. And so they all went into hiding. The only time that their confidence came back is when they saw the resurrected body. And so resurrection brings what? Confidence. Confidence. A level of confidence that even the blood of animals can never ever bring. Can we go to Acts chapter 3? I just want to show you something there. The life of Peter before and after the resurrection. Acts chapter 3. I read from verse 1. He says, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, it's interesting because when 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that's the same time that Jesus, when he was on the cross, he cried, my Father, oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then the Bible says, when he prayed that prayer, not long after that, the curtain in the temple split into two. And not long after that, there was an earthquake that shook the very foundations of what? The earth. That opened up tombs so that dead people came back to life. So that even in his death, dead people were coming back to life. 3 o'clock is that same time that Elijah, if you remember when he had a confrontation with the prophets of Baal, it's that same time that he called upon God. This 3 o'clock that God answered by fire and then destroyed all the prophets of Baal. It's that same time. It's this very same time, 3 o'clock, when Israel backslided, he prayed a prayer and God brought such a great revival. It is this same hour when Daniel, he went before God and he prayed and what? God sent an angel. Cornelius, it is this same time that he was praying. Cornelius was a Gentile, but then he was the first Gentile to be converted into Christianity. It was this same time that he was praying that God also sent an angel to come and deliver him. And now it's 3 o'clock and the disciples, well, Peter and John are going to the temple. You know God is about to move. Hallelujah. Now watch this. It says, so one day, hallelujah, just give glory to God. He's about to move. Hallelujah. It says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk, taking him by the right hand. Now this is the same name that we saw that God has given. This is this name that God has exalted above every name. He says, in the name of Jesus, walk. And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking, jumping, and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to be sitting and begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is life after the resurrection. This is Peter, who had never done anything before, suddenly. And this is his first miracle, by the way. First miracle, but because he had an understanding of the resurrection that most people don't get. And so he walks up to the guy and says, silver and gold I have not, but such as I have, I give you. And then he holds him, says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he holds him and pulls him up to his feet. And suddenly, not only is the guy walking, but what, he's leaping. He was over 40 years old when that thing happened. Now, if you've he was born lame, don't forget that. If you've never ever walked before, you don't suddenly start walking, let alone leap. At least you do baby steps. For me, this whole story is like a snapshot of what the resurrection does. It takes you from a lower level to a completely higher level, a level that you've never ever even been before. Arise. To arise means to go from a lower level to a higher level. And to walk means to go from A to B, to progress. So increase and progress. That is what the resurrection does. He'd never ever walked before. Suddenly this guy is sleeping. But now he's sitting there, he's asking for money. And Peter said, look, I know what you want, but I'm going to give you what you need instead of what you want. And sometimes we think we know what we want, but we only want what we know. It's only God who knows what we really need. I've always said that, you know, what my money cannot do for me, my faith will do for me. Now, this guy was sitting there asking for money, but God gave him something more than money. Money will not take away your problems. It will only manage it. It's only God who can solve your problems. Only God who can solve your problems. So don't think money is bad. Money is good, but you only manage your problem. Only God. And so I'm seeing Peter walking there, and suddenly Peter, this guy who has never, ever even done anything before, is healing somebody. Even if you read later on in the book of Acts, his shadow is healing people. His shadow, he doesn't even have to touch anymore because he has so much understanding of the resurrection power. Guys, if you understand what God has done for us, believe me, we would never ever remain the same again. The price he paid for us is too high. It's way too high for us to be sitting down and doing nothing. We can't sit down and say, we want handouts, we're waiting for manna from heaven. No, no, no. The days of manna are over. They are completely over. The days of manna are over. We can't be sitting down and say we're expecting life to treat us well. Life has nothing to offer us. In fact, the very small that we have, life is trying to get it out of us. They've got nothing to offer us. Life has no peace for you. Life has no money for you. Life has nothing to offer. In fact, sometimes you find yourself where you are because of decisions you make, not because of your circumstances. It's the decisions you make that has put you where you are. It's nothing to do with your circumstance. Remember Job. Job had the choice of cursing God and dying, but he made the decision to be faithful to God, and he got double for his trouble. Look at the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had the choice to bow to the image or go into the furnace. I said, no, no, no. They made a decision not to bow. You are where you are because of your decision, not your circumstance. You need to understand that. We need to get to the place where we don't depend on man. We need to step out and say we demand things from life instead of expecting things from life. Can I have Joshua, please? Joshua chapter 5. I just want to show you something there. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, and I want to read from verse 10. It says, on the evening of the 14th day, on the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped. The day after, they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year, they ate the produce of Canaan. It's saying suddenly the manna stopped. Do you know why the manna stopped? Because they entered into a new season, Canaan. And so the manna stopped. It wasn't because God had run out of manna. No, it's because they had stepped into a new season. Manna was for the wilderness. And so if you want to stay in the wilderness, yes, then you have to eat manna. Or if you want manna, then it means you have to stay in the wilderness. Manna is for the wilderness. The minute they step into a new season, the manna ceased. So sometimes if there are certain things that are not happening in your life, it's because God has brought you into a new season. And so you need to look for the things that God is saying you should look for in that new season. It's no more manna. Absolutely no more manna. But sometimes we pray to God and we ask God, I want to go into the new season. And yet we still have the mentality of that wilderness. It's not possible. You see, every new level of your life will demand a different version of you. Jesus put it this way, you cannot put new wine in old wineskin. No, if it's new wine, you need a new wineskin. It's time for us to step away from that manna mentality. I'm not saying manna is wrong, but that season is over. Now you are stepping into a place where there's milk and honey. Instead of handouts, God is giving you checks. Now, you understand? Yes. You understand that? That mentality, manna mentality must stop. Because there is the price Jesus paid for us. It's more than handouts. It's way more than handouts. Way more than that. It's time to step out and make demands. It says, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. More abundantly. It says, I've given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. That's what he says. Everything you need. And so the period where you go to God and start begging God and crying before God, that won't move God. Because he's done everything he has to do. I was looking at the film and I said, God, what else can you do for us? Because he's done everything that he can possibly do for us. And if that is not enough, then I don't know what is. I really don't know what is anymore. He's done everything for us to make sure we have the best life ever. But unless you understand, unless you are in that resurrection mode every single day of your life, you have that earthly mentality. You need to start having heavenly mentality. Heavenly mentality. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to show you something there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read from verse 13. It says this. It says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And your faith is what? It's in vain. If there's no resurrection, what I'm doing here is useless. And your faith, you might as well just go to the nearest pub and drink, because at least you forget your problems for at least maybe a couple of hours till you wake up, at least. You're wasting your time here. And so you see the importance of resurrection. You are here this morning because of resurrection. It says this, 14, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, our faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, of all people was to be pitied. And so thank God for the resurrection. It carries so much power. It carries so much power. The reason why we are here today is because of the resurrection. But we are not reflecting that power well at all. We are not. You cannot. I always use Peter as an example. You cannot. He had an understanding of what God had done for him. He was spread in a new dimension that had never, ever happened before. And that's what God is calling us to, that higher level, that higher dimension. It says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so we can't always wait for man. We need to step up and start giving what God has deposited in us. The Bible says we were justified. Because he was raised, we were justified. Because he was raised, we have been justified. Not just cleansed. Justified, made right with God. And so as you stand before God, he doesn't see anything but Jesus Christ. You need to go before him with that mentality. You really need to. Because otherwise we come Sunday in and Sunday out, and then we've got a mentality that does not reflect what God has done for us. Then we find ourselves in the same place all the time. All the time. It really is time for us to arise and walk. It's time for us to arise and walk. I can imagine that lame guy sitting there. I don't know for how long he was there for. He was 40 when it happened. But maybe he was still there since when he was maybe 30 years. I don't know. But I can imagine one sitting down, just looking at his useless feet, thinking, when, oh God, when are you going to change my life? Little did he know that that day Peter and Paul, I wonder if Peter and John even knew that that day they were going to change somebody's life. They didn't. But that day, his life changed. His life changed. And God wants to bring, says, rise up and walk. Arise means to go from a lower level to a higher level. God wants to elevate us. And for the Christian, the resurrection is a new beginning. One that's never ever happened. It's a new beginning, a new level. One that the enemy cannot even contest. Because we are hidden in Christ, if he tries to come against you, he will have to come against Christ first. It's a new beginning. Look at what Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 10, or verse 8 even. Let's read from verse 8. Philippians 3. I read from verse 8. It says, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith. Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. And now listen to this. It says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings. He wants to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. That's the power that comes. He's willing to sacrifice everything he has, everything, just to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. The Bible says, seek ye first my kingdom, and everything else will be added. Seeking the kingdom of God is the whole new different thing. That is what he wants, because it comes with certain things that no one else can give you. You see, I remember when Jesus first resurrected, he came across two disciples who were leaving Jerusalem to Emmaus. I don't know if you remember that story. And they were leaving Jerusalem because they were disappointed that Christ did not rise as they thought they would. And then Jesus caught up with them, and he said to them, where are you going? And then they said, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not heard all that has been happening these 3 days? And they walked 7 miles to Emmaus, and they did not even recognize who Jesus was. 7 miles, they did not, probably about 2 to 3 hours, or depending on how you walk, they did not recognize who Jesus was. It's only when they got to Emmaus, when Jesus said, you know what, he pretended, actually, the Bible said he pretended that he was going further. And the two disciples said, no, stay with us. And so he stayed with them. And the Bible said he took bread and he broke it. And the minute they broke it, their eyes were open. They walked with Jesus for so long and did not recognize him. But the minute they broke bread, now breaking bread means sometimes having fellowship. So sometimes we can walk with God without still not knowing him. It's when we have true fellowship with him that we know who he is. We all walk with God. Coming here means you're walking with God. But having fellowship with him makes a difference. So suddenly their eyes were open. Suddenly they began to see who Jesus really was. It was late, but yet at the same time, they decided they were going to go back to Jerusalem. So when you find where God wants you to be, sadly, nothing can stop you anymore. Nothing can stop you anymore. It is my prayer this morning that God will open your eyes and your heart of understanding for you to grasp this power of operation. If you never, ever get anything in your walk with God, just the fact that God died and rose for you is more than enough. If you're able to understand the power of the resurrection, you are sorted. You are. You will not wait for the next prophet to come to town. You will deal with the devil yourself because you know who is that. It's not you, it's Jesus who is. Shall we be on our feet? I see God. I always say that anytime God brings a word, it's because he's getting ready to bring change in the life of the children. Because his word that comes out of his mouth does not return to him void, but it accomplishes every purpose for which he sent it. It cannot return to him void. It can't. So it's not man that he should lie, or even the son of man that he should change his mind. Have I not said it? Will I not do it? Yes. Power of his resurrection. Power of his resurrection. Bible says these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will drink poison. They will die. They will do this. They will do that. And yet sometimes it says it would follow us. But sometimes we seem to be chasing these things. We've got the order wrong. Resurrection is here to restore that order. It's here to restore it. Father, I thank you so much for your word, God. Holy Spirit, I pray that, Father, you will minister this word to every single person here in a way that they will understand, God. In a way that they will understand, Father. I pray that, Father, whatever work you need to do in your children for this word to grow and bear fruit, Father, that you do it, oh God. We stand on that power of resurrection this morning, oh God. And Father, we come against every plan of the enemy. If ever the enemy reminds you ever again of your past, you remind him of what God has done for you in this resurrection. Holy Spirit, thank you so much for your presence. Thank you so much for your presence. Thank you so much. You see, Christianity is not, it's not just some abstract principles that we follow. It's a life and a relationship that you have with a living Savior who wants to infuse your life, who wants to empower you, who wants to transform you into his likeness. After the resurrection, the Bible says the disciples were called Christians. They were called Christians because they could see the life of Jesus in them. He wants to infuse your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift every single person here into your hands, oh God. Father, I curse every plan of the enemy concerning their life. Father, if ever the enemy, oh God, had any plans against them, today is over, Lord. The resurrection power, oh God, nullifies everything, Lord. I proclaim new beginning into every life here in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Give you all the glory, Father, and all the praise in Jesus' name.